News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
I'm joined by Mary Hanafin, barrister and former minister, to bring us up to speed on some of the stories that you may not have heard and give analysis on some of those that you have. We start with the Unpussed board in a potential row with Patrick O'Donovan over pay for their new CEO. This is part of the wave of analysis of CEO pay across the semi-states that said they all need a bit more.
Morning, Anton. Yes, and of course, giving it to one will create a demand and a knock-on effect for everybody else looking for it. And that's why I suppose the government are being very careful in giving a big increase to one, not only because of the knock-on effect, but also because we don't know what the economic situation is going to be, and there are going to be pay demands right across the whole public sector. The Unpussed one is interesting because it's quite a leap they're looking for. The current chief executive, who retires over the coming weeks, David McRedmond, is reportedly on, I think, 270,000 or so. And now they're looking for 360,000, it is reported, for a new CEO. Now, that is a very big leap. Sorry, McRedmond is about 250. That is a very big leap. They're linking it to a new strategy for Unpussed. Now, ordinary listeners this morning are kind of saying, I'm not going to pay 1.85 for a stamp, €1.85 for a stamp. And as a consequence, the ordinary post is going down. So they need to look at their overall strategy. Now, I know, on the other hand, they do a huge amount of deliveries for some of the major companies. Amazon, I think every young woman in the country goes in with their Zara stuff to bring back the labels, to get the proper labels, etc. So they have diversified into that. And of course, they've also diversified hugely into financial areas. They're working for AIB. They provide services there. So it's not the Unpussed that we knew. Right.
Now, it does presumably present a big challenge for government, because government ministers having to say, we believe it's worth handing out €350,000 worth of taxpayers' money to a CEO will drive voters bananas. But at the same time, if that's the pool that you're fishing in and CEOs of private sector companies get that and the rest, how do you compete if you don't?
But that is the question. I mean, did it is reported, and only reported, that who's being lined up is Fergal Leamy, former head of Caolte and Glen Dimplex. Now, two very distinguished, very successful companies. So he obviously would be a catch. Did he apply thinking he was going to get 360,000, or is this a row that has come about after his potential appointment? So I think the minister's probably looking at that as well. Everybody looks to see, you know, 360,000. Who else is on that? The Taoiseach is not on it. The President is not on it. The ministers are not on it. I'm sure every minister is looking at it from that point of view as well. There is an argument.
The old ministerial pension is a lovely thing that often doesn't get properly taken into account.
I mean, that is absolutely true. But I think Unpussed will be looking to say, we're diversifying. We're providing a good service. The minister, quite rightly, is looking to say, I cannot afford a knock-on. So this is a difficult one.
While we're on the topic of people who you might think their nests were sufficiently feathered, solicitors considering ramping up work stoppages.
Yeah, this has to do with largely with district court cases, which is where practically every case starts. And now if you are before the district court and you're charged with an assault, we'll say, OK, you go in the first day and you have your charge. Then you're brought back in again and you're told, OK, this is the evidence against you. And you say, well, I want to see the CCTV and I want to see, have you any witnesses? And then it's called back in again. And then they might, if you're found guilty or if you plead guilty, the judge might say, OK, you've no other previous offences. We'll get a probation report rather than just locking you up. So you can be in court 3-4 times, but it's all for the benefit of justice and the case. And up until now, a solicitor got a fee for every time you turned up. Right. Not a huge fee, but they got a fee. Now the proposal is that you get one fee. So from the first day you turn up, irrespective of whether you plead guilty on day one or you're getting a probation report on day five, that you will only get your fee then, one flat fee, at the very, very end. So this is what is behind all of this.
Now, presumably the idea of the change is that it incentivizes a certain degree of efficiency on behalf of the solicitor.
That's actually what the minister is hoping. But I mean, a solicitor is dependent on his client. Now, the client might say, hold on a minute, I didn't do that. I want to see the CCTV. So you do have to go back. I do a little bit of work as well, not only in the district court, but in the children's court. Right? So these are young people under the age of 18. There's a court where you specifically want to get every opportunity to keep that child out of detention. So you want the probation report. You want the community service report. You want to put it back so that if they have a couple of charges, you'll deal with them all together. You want to make sure they're all dealt with before they're 18. So it's almost an exceptional situation. It's a different type of situation, but it would all be covered with the same thing. So yesterday, there was disquiet in the courts because the judges were faced with very packed courtrooms, with barristers standing up saying, sorry, I represent Mr. Savage, but I can't actually act for him because I don't have instructions, because a barrister can only act with instructions. So it's difficult there at the moment, but I have to say the court handled it very, very well yesterday. Problem is, neither the client or the barristers, or indeed even the solicitors, know how this is going to pan out over the next few weeks.
Now, that's one of the many hats that you wear. The other, of course, going back a while, was politics. I want your view on what Hillary Clinton has been saying. Because Hillary Clinton has been raking over the coals and ashes of her previous political forays. And in this instance, she has been criticising Joe Biden, saying that his second run for the presidency was a terrible mistake, and essentially saying that his legacy is Donald Trump's second presidency.
She's not wrong, of course. You know, I mean, it was a big mistake. I think everybody now knows it was a big mistake.
Can he not say to her, look, Hillary, you pushed me out of this back in 2016. I am the only person who has successfully beaten Donald Trump. And if you had stayed out of my way back then, he might never have been president. Wind your neck in.
You see, it's not the Clinton-Biden campaign. It's the Biden-Trump campaign. And it had come to the stage where Joe Biden was obviously not the right candidate. It's very easy now to look back. But I mean, I happened to be in Washington at the time of the debate when Joe Biden literally walked off the stage, almost being held. It was just so horrific watching it because you knew that election was lost that night.
I assume that rippled through the city. I assume
it rippled through the whole city, and people who were heavily involved in the Democrat campaign were just reeling because they saw this. But they had to keep going. They thought, right? So I think Hillary Clinton is 100% right because she's saying that a year out, Joe Biden should have said, I'm not running, and that would have given an opportunity for a new candidate to come.
Well, now, the other thing then that is implicit in this is Kamala Harris is going under the same bus, because by implication what she is saying is that if we had a decent chance at a run at a primary, we would have got somebody better than her.
Again, it's very easy to criticise a candidate who doesn't get elected, you know, and there weren't that many people coming forward.
But given that she's one of them, don't you think she might think maybe discretion is the better part of valor here? I should probably stop criticising.
In fairness to her, she hasn't come out of the blue. There's a 192-page post-mortem report that has just been published, which is saying exactly what she is saying. So she's not just stirring the pot. This is a report by the Democratic Party looking back to see how they can learn from the future. What worries me is, are they actually learning from the future? We haven't any indication of who the candidates might be. Now, they would say, well, at this stage, you wouldn't have it anyway.
You might have a sniff of somebody.
But you might have a sniff, exactly. And if we don't have a sniff after the midterms in November, then I think the Democrats are in trouble again.
Finally, before you go, the Late Late Show, of course, they're still in negotiations with Patrick Keelty to try to get him to come back and do another season or two. Reports in the front of the Irish Sun suggesting that while they wait to do a deal, they're going to do a sort of a beauty contest. Everybody will do a party piece on the Late Late.
No, if ever there was a bad idea, that would be it. Now, this is actually kind of a non-story because it's the RTE former commercial director, Willie O'Reilly, almost suggesting
this. Well, he didn't lick it
off
the rocks. He knows his stuff.
He does, but I mean, they're saying that perhaps they would do sort of trial runs with Oliver Callan, Maura Duran, Dermot Whelan, Muireann O'Connell and Kevin Cudahy, and give them all a stint at it to see how they would do. RTE and the public know how each of these would do. These are all well-known people. They're all excellent presenters. They all are featuring in programmes right across the system, across the country. You're not mentioned, Anton. I'm not mentioned. You know, I mean, here we are.
Someday we will get our shot, Mary.
We're good, chatty people. But the danger of it would be if one of those plummets, the Late Late Show, has gone with it. So they cannot take that risk. They have to get the right person now to carry on, who probably is Patrick Keelty.
This is it. Mary Hannafin, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
53106 if you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.